And a good Thursday, everybody. Welcome in to Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, David Janes on the ones and twos with you today. We are live at Jasper's on Weston Avenue to get you set for the NCAA tournament that is going to be tipping off in a couple of hours. Things will get underway with the first game being West Virginia and Maryland at 11:15. So looking forward to that. We'll talk a lot about the tournament and also NFL free agency. We actually start with a piece of news for the Tennessee Titans as they have made the Bud Dupree release official.
Okay.
So it just came out that Bud Dupree has been released from the Tennessee Titans. So we knew that was coming. And now it is official. Michelle, what's up?
Listen, Chase, today is a national holiday. I mean, so excited for the first day of basketball. We're live from Jasper's. Games are going to tip off very soon in about two-ish hours. So
yep. This is a big day for you.
And I was telling you, you know when the weather changes and, like, the allergies hit? Well, today I'm feeling great. We got the allergy medicine 24 hours in the system. Got a full slate of college basketball. I can't find one of my Amazon Fire Sticks, so that is raising a bit of concern because I'm going to need three TVs going at home. But it's okay. We'll catch some games here at Jasper's after the show because once we get off the air, it's full basketball mode.
This week, not that the people care, but, you know, I've had to do a little extra this week with vacations and stuff. And so I have informed the powers that be that I will be working from probably one of these chairs over here at this bar watching basketball.
So yes, you will, and you should.
That is going to be the next 2 days for the old chaser, but that's all right. I'm excited, though, because, you know, there's obviously some local connections. The Vols will play late tonight, which is going to be a late night for you, but that's okay. They'll play Louisiana. 8:40 is the tip time on CBS Channel 5 down in Orlando. I know Joseph Rexroad will be there. Looking forward to that. But, you know, games today that I think I am the most in, by the way, I'm going to reveal in just a second who I have picked to win it all.
Okay. I almost called you Joe. I'm in Joe basketball mode.
Whatever.
Okay, Chase.
What is it that Jared called him yesterday? Benny Basketball or something like that?
I love it.
It was funny. So you were saying you like Furman over Virginia.
I do like that.
You've had me looking at that, but I'm leaning Virginia coming out of that. It was honestly like there wasn't like an upset that really stood out to me. Usually there's one that pops.
Well, listen, I mean, no one picked St. Peter's, Kentucky last year.
No.
But there's always one every single year. There always is one. So people are saying maybe an Oral Roberts over Duke. That's another matchup that's going to be down in Orlando. Joe would get to have a front seat for that.
Well,
that'd be
pretty
cool.
Well, I like that one. And I'm picking Duke. I actually have Duke going pretty far.
Okay.
So I am picking Duke there. Iowa over Auburn feels just like a slam dunk to me.
I agree.
I don't think Auburn's going to be very good. I like Boise State over Northwestern.
I don't love that. Northwestern is an underrated team. They have actually one of the best backcourts, I personally think, in the country with Boo Booey. They have an older team. They're a sneaky good team. Towards the end of conference play and stuff, they started to fall off a little bit. But I actually think that's a team that looks a bit underrated.
They're only a 1.5-point favorite.
They are, yeah. I don't think people view them as what I personally think they are. But, hey, who knows? Yeah. They could prove me wrong. They could lose. So that's the best thing about March.
I like A&M over Penn State. I actually like A&M to maybe do some things. Now,
I like A&M to do some things.
The interesting thing is, if you're looking at the bracket, that we could get Texas A&M in the second round.
Well, and we had Jonathan Hutton on Monday. And I said that to him. I said, it's kind of unfair, right? I mean, if you're a Texas team and you're playing in the Big 12 and you earn that number two overall seed and then you get stuck with a Texas A&M in the second round who's a 7 seed, which I don't really agree with, but I know sometimes the seeds can be moved. Like maybe they were supposed to be the 6 and then Kentucky ended up being the 6 because they probably wanted this Texas A&M rivalry. Got to remember Texas coming to the SEC.
Well, and it's foreshadowing, but it's also, you know, Ghost of Christmas Past as well. So you know, from the old days of the rivalry. But, yeah.
Who do you have winning that game?
Texas and Texas A&M. I actually have A&M.
I have A&M winning as well. Texas is the hot team, but I like this A&M team. They've got big guards, and they're a physical team.
Now, the question on nobody's mind except for Michelle's, because we're all in this bracket pool together, is who do I have cutting down the nets here in a few weeks?
Dun, 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 dun.
So I will give you the final four.
Okay.
My final four – actually, I lied to you. I do have Texas. Sorry. I did that in another – I filled out a couple of different brackets, and there are some that I did, you know, I did kind of go opposite. But in the one for the show, and I do have the same champion in every bracket.
Okay, that's fair.
My final four is Alabama and Duke. I have Duke defeating Alabama.
Okay, so they're on your east.
Yep. And then I have Texas and UCLA, and I have UCLA defeating Texas.
So you have a matchup between UCLA and Duke. Wow, that would be...
And I have UCLA cutting down the nets.
Okay, so that would be their 10th or 11th national championship? They still have the most in history with Wood in there.
I'm trying to think. They did win. They won one without Wooden, I think. But, yeah, I have UCLA, and I think they're 15-1. So,
did you put a little money on it? That's the real question.
Oh yeah, of course. I did. But I did not go chalk. So
you didn't. So actually, which people might think is probably crazy, for me, I actually have three SEC teams in my Final Four.
Yeah, you were telling me that Bama, Kentucky,
and A&M.
So
maybe not the hot picks, and then I also have Kansas as that fourth team. But I have matching up in the final, Alabama defeating Kentucky in the Final Four, and I have Kansas defeating Texas A&M in the Final Four, and then having those two face each other, a Kansas-Alabama, and I have Kansas winning it again.
Ooh.
I've watched them all year.
I know. They are good.
They look so put together. But the best thing about March is not always the best team from top to bottom wins. So a lot of people I've seen have Alabama making it to the Final Four. We brought up an interesting stat. I forgot who. I think it was somebody on the text line. The number one overall seed hasn't won the tournament since 2013.
Yep.
Which would have been the Louisville team.
Yep.
So pretty.
Did they have to take that one down? Was that one they had to?
Yeah, I guess they kind of didn't win it.
Is that one that's
yeah, so I guess.
Patino's transgressions.
That one may not even count, so.
I don't know. Junie. Did 2013, did Louisville have to vacate that? 2013, did Louisville have to vacate that one?
Yes.
So,
yes,
okay. There we go.
Thank you.
So. I think they gave it back to
it. They may have. I don't know. We'll have to look it up. Junie Riddle, our Louisville resident. So
if that says anything, I know a couple other teams that some ESPN personalities have picked to be in the Final Four. Houston's a big one.
Yeah.
I saw actually Tom Hart has Missouri going to the Final Four. So it'll be interesting to see how many SEC teams.
Missouri?
I know.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What is he on? Missouri?
Missouri, though, like listening to Dennis Gates at the SEC tournament, their head coach, this week, I mean, he is. If you watch him during a game, his facial expression, he is locked in. He's like Jerry Stackhouse when you watch during a game, just absolutely locked into the game, doesn't let his emotions get the best of him like we see with, you know, an Eric Musselman, a Bruce Pearl, some of the other SEC coaches. And
Cal.
Yeah, Cal. He gets a little crazy, too.
Bruce gets really sweaty.
Oh, yeah. He wins for
really
Pitts.
Yes, he does. Texter on the text line, Rob. Thank you, Rob. Louisville did get the title back. They just got it back. I have never understood what you are accomplishing by taking banners down and taking titles away. Taking Heismans away. Like, it's done. It has been done. We are all going to remember that it actually happened. So what are you accomplishing by saying, oh, well, you broke the rules, or one person on your team broke the rules, so we're going to take it away from you. Who cares? Do you think the player's giving the ring back? Do you think they're giving the piece of the net back?
Or not putting Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame when he literally is one of the best baseball players ever.
I know. Well, right. And I mean, you know, Barry Bonds, should be in. Clemens should be in.
Yeah.
Because you can make the argument that, okay, yes, they roided it up, but they still would have been a Hall of Famer anyway.
Exactly.
And yeah,
sports
that's a whole
is weird and weird and crazy, and I just opened up a whole nother can of worms.
You did,
right,
and
there.
And then like that just that sets me up, you know, for something. But anyway, looking forward to it as the tournament tips off today, and Tennessee playing tonight. But look, I think some of the games that we have early on are going to be fun. And we will keep you abreast of all of that. But coming up next, a big signing in NFL free agency. A guy is finally off the market, and a friend of mine is very happy about it. But we will discuss that. And also, a decision was finally made. We'll do that coming up next. It's Chase and Michelle. We're live today from Jasper's on Weston Avenue. We'll tell you a little bit more about what we're doing here today because it is our watch party. 1918 Weston Avenue. For the first day of tournament games, you can come out and enjoy the games with us. And while you're here, take advantage of the shot and a beer special. That's a shot of Nelson's Greenbrier Tennessee whiskey plus a bottle of domestic beer for just $10. Jasper's, oversized bar, TVs, and game room make them the place to catch all of the games. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, the game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, the game. We're at Jasper's on West End Avenue. Our man David James back at the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. You can hit us up anytime on the phone line, DriverByWilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And remember, they haven't tipped off yet. You got about 2 hours, but you can go to thegamenashville.com, sign up for our official bracket challenge brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and the bluffs at Rocky Ridge. Enjoy the biggest and best views in the Nashville area from your dream acreage home site. Call now at 866-GET-LAND. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge or the Game Nashville app and pick your teams for a chance to win tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, April 15th. Cannot wait for that for sure. All right, free agency going on in the NFL. It officially opened yesterday. I was producing the afternoon show. And Jared, right at 3 o'clock, had his happy new year for the new league year, and that's when the Titans made some things official. And before we get to Orlando Brown Jr., who signed a big deal with the Cincinnati Bengals, I do want to hit on that because right at 3 o'clock, the Titans send out that they have tendered two restricted free agents. Tyrae Tart gets a second round tender. That doesn't really surprise me.
Nope.
So. I like that for him. I think they'll get a deal worked out, but he deserves it. Aaron Brewer got a second-round tender. That did surprise me, but it also told me that Aaron Brewer is going to be the starting center for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, Chase, I definitely agree. I agree with that. I mean, you're not going to pay a guy that amount if he's going to be a backup for you. That was the first thing I thought. By the Tennessee Titans doing that, that meant that Aaron Brewer is their starting center. I mean, we saw him play at that position a couple times last year when Ben Jones was injured with the concussion. But a part of me looked at it and thought maybe they would try to draft a center, go out and get a center, whether it be in free agency or within the draft. But based off the moves that they've made, getting the offensive lineman from the 49ers, getting Andre Dillard, and then giving this deal to Aaron Brewer, that signifies to me that he will be your starting center because you're not paying him that amount of money, $4 million, to be your backup.
Right. It's a lot of money for him, and I don't love it, but I get it because it's kind of an insurance policy of, you know, that you know you're going to have him and he's going to be your starting center. But I didn't love that. They also tendered Naquan Jones as an exclusive rights free agent. And so they got that done with the restricted free agents yesterday. Orlando Brown Jr. gets a big deal with the Cincinnati Bengals as they continue to shore up that offensive line, signing him to a 4-year, $64 million deal, which is obviously a big thing for Joe Burrow to have a bona fide left tackle to help protect him.
Yeah, I saw that deal actually this morning, Chase, because I had an early night last night, but I saw that this morning and I thought, Cincinnati, they said they upped their offensive line last season, and poor Joe Burrow was still one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the entire NFL. So when you look at that, I'm sure if you're Joe Burrow, you're pleasantly surprised or you're happy about that because they've been struggling with their offensive line throughout the entire season. I mean, one of I think it was their right tackle, he got hurt right before the playoffs,
yep.
wasn't able to play. They struggled with injuries. And if I'm not mistaken, Tom Pelissero reported that this will be the largest ever deal for an offensive lineman. Yeah, so he will get a four-year, $64 million front-loaded deal with the Bengals that include over $31 million in signing bonuses. So the largest ever for an offensive lineman, which is, I mean, that's huge. That's what he was looking for this offseason. You and I talked about it, not in the cards for the Tennessee Titans right now. I mean, if you look at this Bengals team, they're able to do things like that because they have a quarterback and two star wide receivers still on rookie deals.
Yeah, I wouldn't have paid him that if I'm the Titans, going with the plan that they're on. I mean, good for him. You know, he got paid for sure, but I wouldn't have done that necessarily. I thought I was going to sneeze. Sorry.
Bless you. Bless you. Bless you anyways. No, I mean, and I think that the moves the Tennessee Titans have made, you can already see what this offensive line is going to look like. You know, Aaron Brewer, I think it's fair to assume that he's going to be your center. You've got Nicholas Petitfrere at right tackle. Whether Andre Dillard, I don't know if you're going to want him to be your left tackle or if he's going to stick in one of those guard positions, but let's just put him at left tackle. Then you get...
I think he's a left tackle right now, unless they draft somebody.
Left tackle. Then you get Brunskill from San Francisco. He'll be in one of those guard positions. Okay, now you can see a line that already from last year. I mean, we need to see how they work together, but his leaps and bounds just by the quality of player that you're having on that line. Say you draft a guy, and you can have the San Francisco Brunskill coming from San Francisco next to Nicholas Petitfrere, maybe. So you get a veteran presence on that side with Nicholas Petitfrere. You hope he takes another step up next year. Then you have Andre Dillard as your left tackle next to maybe a rookie that you draft. And then you have Aaron Brewer at center. So already just a couple days into free agency, the new year started yesterday at 3 p.m., already, if you're a Tennessee Titans fan, you have to be feeling a lot more confident in this offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And I'd be curious, you know, if they decide to put Brunskill at left guard or right guard, you know, wherever they want to put him. But I still believe they're going to draft a couple of offensive linemen.
Which they should.
absolutely, whether they're starters or not. But and they may very well sign another guard. You know, you never know. But and I'll say this, too. I'm still not 100% convinced that they love Petitfrere. You know, Vrabel said we may have five new offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not 100% that they're convinced there.
Yeah, no, I agree. And to your point on, we've talked about before, could we see the Tennessee Titans maybe trade back to get some more draft picks in the first or second round? And if they aren't sure about Petitfrere, okay, draft a guy and give him some competition. Make them work for that spot. See who can earn that position. Because coming into last year, we assumed that Dylan Radins would be the right tackle. And Petitfrere, as a rookie, came in and they felt more confident in throwing him out there than a guy like Dylan Radins. So when you look at this line too, I personally think, I mean, at every position you need to be drafting, especially at the offensive line, because those positions, not only your starting guys, but you want to have depth at that position, which is something we didn't see last year.
Yeah. And the one thing that they always had was somebody like Dennis Kelly that could be that swing tackle that could play guard, he could play tackle, you know, what have you. I think they definitely need to look into that. But moving on from something other than the Titans, there is one decision that has finally been made. And we can all sleep easy now because we know where Aaron Rodgers is going to play. This was from the Pat McAfee Show yesterday.
At this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I haven't been holding anything up at this point. It's been compensation that the Packers are trying to get for me and kind of digging their heels in. So I would just, I think it is interesting at this point to step back and look at the whole picture.
All right. So I'm going to say this. I watched a lot of this yesterday, and I know you were too.
I was multitasking.
Yeah, but it is my hope in life that I find somebody that loves me as much as Aaron Rodgers loves Aaron Rodgers. Because that dude loves him some Aaron Rodgers. Like, he is so narcissistic when it comes to him. And I'm watching this just going like, and he keeps going back to, I love Green Bay and I love the city and I wanted to retire a Packer. No, you didn't. Get out of here. Like, I bet if you run into fans, Packer fans that you're talking so glowingly about, like, you run away. You know, like, come on. Just get out of here. So, it looks like he's going to be a Jet. I know Charles Robinson was on Robbie and Rex Road this morning talking about, you know, the compensation. I don't think they're going to get – they're definitely not getting two first-rounders.
No.
I don't think they're going to get a first-rounder. Maybe, but they shouldn't. But I do wonder, and I, you know, D-Mace and I were kind of talking about this yesterday. I do wonder if the longer this goes, does another team come in and try – now, Aaron would have to – you know, Aaron could very – you know, he could say, hey, I'm going to retire. You know, let's say if the Titans came along and, you know, tried to do it, but which they're not. But I this whole thing is just like, okay, good. Now we can move on. But where does it put the Jets when it comes to the AFC? I think this is interesting because you have them as probably the fourth. I would put them slightly ahead of the Bills. You know, especially, you know, if Lazard signed and, you know, Mercedes Lewis is a good blocking tight end. Randall Cobb's going to be there just because that's his buddy. You know, Bakhtiari is the only one that they're probably not going to be able to get.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of his best friends. But and then that young receiving core and that defense. I actually think the Jets will be pretty good. If you get focused in it to win it, Aaron, chip on his shoulder, Aaron, they're going to be dangerous.
Well, I kind of look at it too, Chase, quickly. Who has the leverage in this? You know, the Packers have the leverage. Aaron Rodgers can go on there and say, yeah, I want to be a Jet. I want to play for the Jets. But if the Jets aren't willing to offer up what the Packers want, he's still under contract. So to your point of, could this get drug out longer and the Jets are signing these guys that Aaron Rodgers wants and a deal not come to fruition? I do ultimately think that the Jets will get a deal done because their fan base already thinks they're getting Aaron Rodgers. They're excited about this Aaron Rodgers movement. They feel confident about their team, and they can get a Hall of Fame quarterback. But they're signing Alan Lazard. They're getting the guys that Roger wants. But ultimately, the Packers hold the keys right now. The Packers need to give it the okay and be on the same page as the Jets. And I could see this getting dragged out for a little bit longer just because the Packers know that they have to okay the trade, whereas the Jets are like, well, we don't want to give up a first-round pick. Okay.
Right.
Well, Packers are sitting here. Okay, no problem.
If I'm the Jets and they go, okay, we'll give you a first-round pick, but you're eating some of the money. That's the negotiating tactic there. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, wide receiver one, do we believe that can be Treylon Burks? Because this is a position that they have not addressed as of yet. Will the Titans do that before the draft? We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Yeah!
Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. It's tournament day, live at Jasper's here on West End Avenue. And looking forward to getting the tournament underway and watching some of these games that we will be doing here. They got a ton of TVs. They got an awesome bar space that you can check out and watch these games in. But enjoy a shot and a beer special, a shot of Nelson's Greenbrier Tennessee Whiskey, plus a bottle of domestic beer for just $10. Jasper's upscale bar fare, oversized bar, TVs, and game room make them the place to catch all the games this year. They're going to open right at 11 when we're done. So we're just kind of getting everybody warmed up.
Yes, we are.
And so I expect at 11 o'clock to look out that door and see a line of people wanting to come in here to get Michelle's autograph and also watch games.
How about this? Just get live reaction or me in my element watching college basketball games at 11:15, which we got Maryland, West Virginia, a great game to kick off the tournament. Chase.
Yes, it's going to be awesome. But continuing the discussion on the Tennessee Titans and the wide receiver room, which you know the gif of Will Smith and the Fresh Prince where he's looking around in the empty room? That's what Treylon Burks is doing right now.
Yep.
I know Kyle Phillips, Racy McMath, they're still there. And I hope Kyle Phillips has a good year. You know, Racy too, but like I hope Kyle Phillips can be that slot receiver that they wanted him to be. I'm really wanting that out of him. But the Titans have done nothing to address the receiver position as of yet. So what are they going to do? That's the question. Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, was on Stillman & Company on Tuesday and talked a little bit about the receivers in this draft.
Yeah, I am not thrilled at receivers at the top end here. And I'm not thrilled at the Titans taking a receiver at number 11. I mean, there are some guys whose names have been mocked to them. Quentin Johnston out of TCU is one of the ones that's gone, you know, in conversation to them very often. He's 6'3", 208. He's the kind of guy that wins with size. He's outstanding at winning with size. And he's got good separation speed. In other words, he can just turn on that extra gear and stride it out to get open down the field. So all those things are good, but he also showed some inconsistency. He also doesn't catch as many touchdowns at TCU as I thought he might. I mean, Max Duggan, his quarterback, threw 32 touchdown passes last year. Johnston caught six of them. Just six at 6'3"? You would think there'd be more going on there.
That was Trevor Maddich on Stillman & Company. And I agree. Last year's draft was so deep at receiver. I mean, that's why even before the Titans traded A.J. Brown, there was discussion that they could draft Treylon Burks in their original draft spot and have both of them. Plus, they brought in Robert Woods. And looking back on it, I kind of wish that had happened, but didn't. But this draft, not as deep when it comes to receiver, even though I do think there's some talent there. I believe in the next day or so, now as we kind of shift into the second wave of free agency, you will see them make a couple of signings, I think. Now, tight end's another one. I hope Austin Hooper, they bring him back. I still feel good about that, but I would love for them to bring Austin Hooper back at tight end. And so they have Chigakonkwo and Austin Hooper. You can get a blocking tight end somewhere too. But then receiver, I mean, there's some of these bargain basement receivers that you could bring in. I know I kind of threw out DJ Shark. Some people like that, some people don't. He's another guy that is inconsistent and can, you know, is injury prone. I've thrown out Corey Davis's name again, injury prone. So you got to be careful there. But I think you'll probably see them sign one of these guys in the next few days. But are they going to be wide receiver two? And is Treylon Burks truly wide receiver one?
Well, this is my question, and that's part of the reason I wanted to hear that clip from Trevor Maddich, because he spoke specifically on the draft. The wide receivers in this draft, they aren't great this year. You mentioned last year's draft, the comparison between different draft classes. You also look at the free agent market with wide receivers right now. Not great. I don't see any guy in there who could be a wide receiver one for this Tennessee Titans team. So then you look to what the wide receiver core is right now for the Tennessee Titans. You have Treylon Burks, who was your number one or your first round draft pick last year. He had some injuries. There was a concussion. There was a hamstring injury on and off the field. Wasn't able to be consistent for you. Still also was a rookie. You have got Kyle Phillips, who him and Tannehill looked to have really good chemistry in the first game, but he got hurt and then he muffed a couple punts. And then you have Racy McMath, who I think he might have had one big catch in one of the games towards the end of the season, but I don't feel confident in any of those guys being a number one wide receiver for this Tennessee Titans team. And you can say, well, they've got Chig, and they're going to try to re-sign Austin Hooper, and you've got Derrick Henry, and they're going to try to re-sign Dontrell Hilliard. But the way I look at this, and I look at these receivers in free agency, is that I think this Tennessee Titans team needs to go out and make a trade for a wide receiver. Jerry yeah. Judy, you look at some of the Broncos guys, it's come out of their camp that they're looking to shop some of those guys. I've mentioned Mike Evans a couple times on our show with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but Adam Thielen is a guy we've talked about. I know that he's
only
a free agent.
Only if he's cheap.
But the way I look at this right now is you don't feel confident in the wide receiver group whatsoever because you've got two guys who are in their second year. One of them, in Kyle Phillips, was barely able to stay on the field with you because of his stature, of his size. And yes, Treylon Burks was a first-round draft pick, but injuries on and off, last offseason, you know, his transition from the combine and the draft into training camp was difficult for him. So I look at this team and I think you need to get at least some sort of veteran presence in there and some sort of guy who is able to be a number one wide receiver for you all, because we saw what happened last year when you didn't have a number one wide receiver and you still had a veteran in Robert Woods who wasn't able to do anything for you.
Yeah, I think Treylon's going to have a really good year. I just have faith. As long as he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be fine. Because, as you just mentioned, he's trained for actual football now. He hasn't trained for the Underwear Olympics and the Combine. So I think he's going to come into camp in much better shape. He's going to be more honed in. I know that Mike Vrabel was very complimentary of him when he was hurt. He was spending a lot of time just studying and trying to become a better pro. So I think you're going to see that. There's going to be a big leap from year one to year two. We got to stop this whole comparing him to A.J. Brown. Is he going to be A.J. Brown? That's unfair to him. I mean, I know it comes with it, but it's so unfair to him. But I feel like he can be wide receiver one, but you do have to get him some help. Like I agree with you that if you can hit the trade market and get somebody at a decent price, I mean, Judy, you mentioned, it sounds like any of the Broncos receivers are available.
Yeah.
And so you could potentially get one of those guys. D-Hop, even though I wouldn't overpay for D-Hop, you know, he's available. So I do think there's some moves that can certainly be made between now and the draft via the trade market. And you may have some other guys get released before then, too, to help address that position, because you need to find that bona fide wide receiver, too.
Yeah, and Chase, you know, I look at this team too, and a lot of our questions heading into this offseason was, are they going to keep Derrick Henry? Are they going to keep Ryan Tannehill? And if they are, which it's trending towards they are, unless some blockbuster trade happens, but if you are keeping those two guys on your team, you are signaling to the fan base that you believe you still can win it all. And I look at Treylon Burks, and I understand your points of, you know, he has the talent to potentially be a great wide receiver. But can he make the leap in one off season from only being able to be available in about half the games to playing every single game for you next year at a wide receiver number one?
Right.
That is the question I have. And I would feel a lot more confident in this offense if they had a true number one wide receiver, because even if Treylon Burks is your number one, everybody on the other side is going to know he's your number one, and he's going to know that you don't have any guys who can be a deep threat for you all. Kyle Phillips is still just a question mark.
Oh, yeah. No, and there's time will tell, and I don't think he's going to be wide receiver two. I think he can be a good slot receiver for you, hopefully. That's obviously the goal there. But coming up next, we'll talk some hockey. Greg Wyshynski will join us from ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on things going on in the National Hockey League and with the Preds right now. We do that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, David Janes with you. We're live at Jasper's on Weston Avenue today. NCAA tournament tipping off here in just a little bit. We'll talk to Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, talk some hockey with him in just a second. Predators will be back in action tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks. Pre-game with Max Herz at 6. The puck drop just after 7 here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And a reminder for those of you that are going to watch on TV, one you should always listen to us too. But it is not on Bally tonight. It's on ESPN Plus. This was before the season even started, a national game on ESPN Plus. So you can watch it on that. And speaking of ESPN, let's say hello to Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, who joins us now. Greg, what's up? Good morning.
Yeah, if any of you, I mean, want to just like come over to my place tonight and watch it, I have ESPN Plus. It's like one of the perks of the job. So just like find me in Brooklyn and we can hang. And I got good beer. It's cool.
There you go. See, and I've hung with Greg. He's a good guy. So I think it would It would be a good time to watch some hockey with him. So this Predators team, Greg, I mean, we talked to you last week, and, you know, they're just scrapping along 4 points out of a playoff spot after trading off a bunch of their assets. Now, the schedule's going to get harder, and that is the one thing that I try to temper my expectations. But I really like how this young group is playing right now, led by Luke Evangelista, who has really made an impact in his young career.
He certainly has. And you know, it's funny to see how some of these teams that cashed in their chips at the trade deadline have sort of hung around. I mean, you know, you have the Washington Capitals winning in a shootout last night against the Sabres, who are a team that they're right in the mix with for that last wild card spot in the East. The Predators obviously have, like you said, scratched and clawed and kept somewhat close to that wild card race in the West, although it's a little bit more set than it is in the East. So I would love to like do a deep dive on the psychology of these teams. I feel like sometimes when their, you know, management raises the white flag, maybe it kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off them to just play hockey down the stretch versus worrying about the trade deadline, the future, all that stuff. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon in the NHL this season.
Yeah, I think it is too. And, you know, I look at it, if the Predators were to get into the playoffs, no matter what they do, it's gravy at that point. You know, it's like, okay, we accomplished what we needed to accomplish by getting all these draft picks. They're going to have 13 when the draft is here in June. So if they make it in, it's just kind of like a bonus.
Sure, and definitely a bonus for ownership because they'll have at least two extra dates of playoff revenue, which is always a good thing. I mean, don't forget about, like, the bottom line of all of this is the bottom line. I mean, you know, there's a reason why teams orchestrate their schedules around the trade deadline in the sense that a lot of the action happens closer to the deadline than it, say, happens in January. And the reason is because they don't want to signal to their fan base that they're done. You know, they want people to come to games. They want people to spend money on stuff. So there's a marketing aspect to all of this. And you know, when you see teams that are quote unquote happy to be there in the playoffs, yeah, I mean, it's going to benefit the young players on the roster. It's going to create a little bit of excitement if they can get a win or two off a higher seed. But ultimately, it's trying to get 2 to 3 extra home dates of, you know, playoff revenue, and that's going to help their bottom line going forward.
Greg Wyshynski is with us from ESPN talking some NHL. The Predators needed a shootout, but they beat the Los Angeles Kings at the end of their road trip 2-1. But the Kings, to me, are a very, very good opponent in the West. I watch them right now sitting second in the Pacific Division just behind Vegas by 3 points. After the trade deadline, what's your view on the Kings and how far they can go?
Yeah, they're an interesting team. I mean, there were times this season when their underlying numbers and their metrics showed them to be maybe not as good as their record indicated, but they kind of their analytics have caught up to their record in a pretty impressive way as the season has gone on. Last summer, I thought they made one of the more smarter decisions, which was to trade for Kevin Fiala from the Minnesota Wild. I think that trade's really worked out for him. He's been a force for them offensively, really helped balance out that lineup. And you know, if their goaltending holds and the Jonas Korpisalo acquisition from the Blue Jackets at the deadline, I thought was a pretty smart one because I did not exactly have the highest amount of faith that Jonathan Quick was going to be able to do what he did in the playoffs last year. I think they could really make some noise in the West. And they're a great story, too. I mean, don't forget, this is a team that's got a collection of really good young players that are on the way up, and they're trying to hit that sweet spot where they've got a great young supporting cast trying to get Anje Kopitar and Drew Doughty another Stanley Cup in the twilight years of their careers. So it's a real kind of an interesting legacy team in some ways that is really built to make a lot of noise in the playoffs. They're an impressive group.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then, you know, as I look in this division, the Central Division, now what's funny is I mentioned the Predators four points out of a playoff spot. By my math, it's now 7, I guess, but they're still within striking distance of even getting that third spot in the Central. But Colorado sits there right now. They've won 3 in a row. I know this hasn't been the juggernaut that they were last year. That title goes to Boston in the East right now. But I still, like, you put Colorado in a 7-game series in the playoffs, you got to show me you can beat them until I'm ready to write them off.
Yeah, they could beat anybody, but they're not as good as they were last year. I mean,
no.
That's clear. They had some attrition in their lineup. They still haven't found that replacement for Nazem Kadri at second line center. They're missing a few veterans. They're still banged up. I mean, we're still waiting to see if Landis Cog is going to make his way back, and now Lehkonen's out of the lineup too. So, you know, you have all those things swirling around the team, plus different goaltending, and I don't think that they're the Avalanche that we saw last season. But like you said, I mean, throw Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar in a 7-game series, you're going to do pretty good for yourself. But obviously, the story in the Central right now is those Minnesota Wild. They you know, set a new franchise record last night for most consecutive games, the point. They're winning games despite Kirill Kaprizov being out of the lineup. Fleury's been really hot. I think he's got like 6 wins in a row. They've really rounded into form at the right time in that division. And if I'm, you know, Colorado or Dallas or Winnipeg, I'm kind of looking over my shoulder at what the Wild are doing right now.
In the East, as you know, we mentioned, Boston's already secured a playoff spot, which is just crazy. Even though they lost to Chicago the other night, the team is coming in here to play the Predators tonight. I couldn't believe that they lost to Chicago. But so they got that locked up at the top of their division in the conference. The wild card race in the East is fascinating to me. Detroit was just in here, and they're still technically in it. I mean, it's kind of getting away from them now, but I mean, you got Washington, Florida, Buffalo, Ottawa, and then the Islanders and Pittsburgh hold those 2 spots right now. It's been fun to watch in the East.
It has. That Chicago game was my favorite moment of the season, by the way, with all the Blackhawks fans, all like 12,000 of that game, chanting overrated at the Bruins as they're losing that game to Chicago. It's like if the crowd at a game where a 15 seed wins in March Madness starts chanting, "You can't beat us," at like Duke or something. It's pretty fantastic. The East is awesome. It's ever changing. At least in the wild card position, you know, obviously the 2-3 seeds are somewhat cemented. Although with the injuries to Carolina, there's a path for the Devils to win that division, and that could really make for some interesting matchups in the East. I still think it's going to be Pittsburgh and Florida. I mean, the Islanders have been picking up points when they need to. There's a bunch of games in hand, though, for the Panthers right now to move up the standings and potentially move ahead of the Islanders. And they've been playing good hockey. I think sneakily, like, I don't want to say this too loud because the people in Edmonton will hear it and start yelling at me again, that if you say someone else has an MVP case, you're trying to, you know, take something off of Connor McDavid. I'm not trying to do that. But I am trying to say that Matthew Tkachuk has been incredible, and that if you're looking at the kind of player that drags his team by the scruff of its neck into the playoffs, I mean, Tkachuk's doing that right now. I'm not saying that doesn't mean I'm going to vote against Connor McDavid, telling that to the province that's been on my behind for 2 months. But I am saying that Matthew Tkachuk has done a hell of a job, and if the Panthers make the playoffs, he clearly will be the reason why.
Real quick, are you going to be at the Garden Sunday night when the Predators are in town?
I don't know. Maybe not. I was just at the Garden the other night for that game against the Capitals, where we did the Big City Greens cartoon on Disney Channel.
That was awesome.
Dude, it was so much fun. I wrote a story about it. If you saw it and you're curious about it, I have a story on ESPN.com that kind of details how the whole thing came together. And I listen... You know, I'll put over my company probably regardless, but I'm really happy to be able to do it on something that worked. And that thing worked, man. It was like the great potential of puck and player tracking in the NHL applied in a really interesting and inventive way. And nothing warmed my heart better as a hockey fan than to see people tweeting pictures of like their toddlers watching this Big City Greens game. And reacting to the hockey on the screen. Like, that's the kind of thing the NHL needs to do more of to bring new fans to the table. And that was such a great idea and a great execution this week. I was really impressed with it.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So I hope there's more of that to come. Greg, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joining us, talking some hockey with him. Yeah, if you missed that, it was really, really cool. To see that on Disney. Max Herz was all about it, for sure. Coming up next, we will get back into some hoops and get you set for the tournament as things go on. And also the Titans, quarterbacks in the AFC. Where does Ryan Tannehill rank now that Rodgers is going to be joining the AFC? We'll discuss that coming up next on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.